Would you please join me in the first and the last verse of How Great Thou Art? O Lord my God, when I in awe of wonder consider all words thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Thou humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Surely thank the Lord this morning for the privilege to know such a wonderful, mighty God. God of love, God of mercy, God that cares about you and I, a God that understands us. He even understands us better than we understand ourselves. And I'm thankful this morning for His great plan of salvation, for His Spirit that He sent to lead us and guide us through this dark world. Surely I need that. I'm sure you do too. He also gave us some scriptures and comforting and encouraging words. And He gave us a direction in how that we deal with life in general. Instruction, maybe I should say. I'd like to look at a scripture this morning. My little thought is about staying firm and focused. Staying firm and focused in where you are headed in this life. I want to look at the scripture is familiar. It's in Matthew, the 4th chapter. It's the trial or the test of Jesus by the enemy. It says in the verse before that chapter, the 17th verse of the third chapter, said, "Lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, I have to believe what I know about the devil, that he heard that voice too. The Bible says he knows the Scriptures and he trembles. But I want us to be reminded this morning and aware that even though the devil knows a lot of things, and he knows that he's a defeated foe, but he's still going to contest every one of us. He's going to come against every one of us. We face him every day, don't we? If he's bold enough, brazen enough, whatever you want to call it, to attack Jesus and test him, surely he's doesn't have a problem coming against you and me. But his purpose, Jesus says, was to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his purpose. That's the only purpose he has. To steal, and none of those sound good to me. And I'm sure they don't sound good to you either. So I'd like to look and consider some things in the temptation of Christ. It's not a sin to be tempted. We're all tempted. It can become a sin if we give in to that temptation. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Thank the Lord for the Word of God. I believe that since the attack here was against Christ's human nature, I believe that it was a literal experience that he had. Just like you and I have in our literal experiences from day to day. I don't believe that it was a mental or a mind battle that the enemy had with the devil. I believe it was literal. He was attacking his flesh. That's what he attacks when he comes against you and I, is our flesh, isn't it? And that's all he can attack, is coming against our flesh. So I believe this was a literal, not a mental victory that Jesus won here against the enemy. And let's consider it this way, though Satan's rebellion against God has already been defeated through Christ's atonement for you and I. He knows he's a defeated foe this morning. He knows that. But if you attack a battleship with a canoe, you know right offhand that if you're in that canoe, you're going to lose. But nevertheless, you still made an attack. You understand what I'm saying? The enemy knows he's a defeated foe, but he still makes the attack on every one of us. And he was bold enough to make an attack on Jesus and to test him and try him. And Jesus gave us some wonderful example here, folks, of how we should deal with our temptations. He gave us some ammunition, if you will, in how to deal with our temptations. Even though the outcome that Jesus was going to prevail because he was the Son of God, and some people say, well, this really wasn't fair because he was the Son of God. He didn't come against him. He even questioned whether he was the Son of God. But he came against his humanity, which is where you and I face the enemy, see. And he came against the humanity of Christ. And as I said, the attack was real. Jesus said to Peter and the disciples that upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But it doesn't stop the enemy from trying to prevail. It doesn't stop the attacks. Now, if you get tired and you get weary and you don't want to fight the fight anymore, he will overcome you. And he will destroy, he will get the advantage of you. So you and I've got to learn to fight. The violent must take it by force. And you and I've got to get violent with the enemy. We have got to let him know that the ground that we stand on belongs to us. It doesn't belong to him. It belongs to me and it belongs to God. And that's where we stand today. In the midst of all these things that are going on all around us. All the mind games, all the society failures and those kind of things. In the midst of all of this and the pressures that you and I face in life. Folks, I want us to stand firm and keep focused on where you're going. Because the enemy here was working on Jesus. Trying to take away his focus and just going to see just how firm that Jesus was going to stand. Now, of course, we learn here just in the first part of this. We learn that the enemy knew that he had just fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And he knew that he was, now that's where he's working and coming against the flesh, see. Now, I've never fasted 40 days and 40 nights, never been able to go that long, but I can only imagine in my mind that Jesus must have been pretty famished. The flesh was very hungry, and it needed nourishment, and it needed strength. So it tells me, you and I, that the enemy loves to come against us at our weakest times. Whenever we don't feel that we have power, whenever we maybe blindside us, you know how you can drive down the road, people, most of us in here drive, and you got that outside mirror and you look and see if there's somebody beside you and you pull out in the left lane, there's a blind spot in that mirror, isn't there? There's a place there where if you're not careful, you'll pull out and that guy's right up there and he's just close enough that you can't see him in the mirror. He's not in front of you and he's not really behind you, but he's right beside you. And that's where the enemy likes to come and tempt you and I. He likes to hide in those places where you can't see him. And he'll come at those times whenever it's your weakest moment. Maybe it's time when you're tired and weary in body. Maybe it's a time when your patience has run out. Boy, the enemy likes to come in like a flood then, doesn't he? But I'm glad the Scripture says the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Jesus has not left us helpless. He has left us some ammunition, if you will, against the enemy of our souls. He has left us with something that you and I can overcome, but it's going to take me. It's going to take us, folks, to stay firm, hold, stand your ground, don't give in to the enemy in any way. I want to point out something here that Christ did here. So the devil comes along and his first temptation, knowing that Jesus was very hungry, he said, "You see these stones? Turn these stones into bread." Jesus could have done it. Jesus could have done it. He told the disciples, "If they don't praise me, these stones will rise up and praise me." Jesus could have done it. We can go there in our minds and thoughts this morning. He could have done it. But his answer was, "It is written." Folks, how important is that to you and I this morning? Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God." He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now let's look at Jesus here for a minute. He was weak in the flesh. But he had a source of strength that the enemy didn't really realize. He had a source of strength. And his strength was his obedience to the will of God. Remember that. His strength was, even in the weakness of his flesh, was that he was obedient to the will of God, and he would not even work a miracle to avoid personal suffering when it was God's will for him to suffer. Isn't that something? He could have turned those stones to bread. He could have had him some food right then and there. But he wouldn't even work a miracle to avoid his personal suffering when the suffering was a part of God's purpose for him. Remember that, saints. When you're suffering, when you're going through places that are dark, when you're going through places when you feel all alone. And folks, what I've said about pain over the years, pain is a mind-altering drug. It'll change the way you look at things. It'll change the way you feel about things. Pain hurts. And affects us greatly, and the devil knows it. Jesus wouldn't even work a miracle to satisfy his flesh when he realized that what he was going through was God's purpose for him. Saints, what God has for you to go through, what he has for you to face, is his purpose for you. Now, it'll be different from it for every one of us. We all go through different things. We all face different things. The Lord knows what you need, and he knows what I need to help me to stand firm and keep focused on what my goal is. My goal is heaven. But I face a lot of things in life, don't I? Life is just a big schoolroom. We learn this today. We learn something else tomorrow. I hope we learn it. We face all kinds of difficulties. We face all kinds of hard things in life. We face sorrow. We face sadness. We face disappointment. We face wickedness. We face evil. And we're facing it more and more. And it's getting more prevalent all the time. And we live in a society that's lost their moral compass. They don't even know what's right and what's wrong anymore. We face a lot of things. But folks, God has you and I in a place. Remember this. He will put you and I in a place where he can work with you. And he can work with me for the benefit of my soul. Because he has one purpose in mind. The same as mine. His purpose and my purpose is the same. I want to make heaven. When I draw that last breath and step out in eternity, I thought of my sister just a little while ago when I was watching her going out of this world and she knew she was leaving here. She opened her eyes and she said, "Lay, I'll be waiting for you. You be faithful because I want to see you on the other side." Oh, saints. There's nothing more important to me than that. Nothing. We feel like sometimes things are so important and we got to do this and we got to do that to work it out. We got to make things happen sometimes, don't we? I'll just make things happen. I'll work it out the way that I think it ought to work out. Even whenever he was famished, 40 days without food, he would not work a miracle for his own sake. When he knew it was God's purpose for him to suffer. That may be a little hard for us to wrap our minds around, folks. But I want to say that he may have some things for us to suffer. He may have some things that he wants us to go through. And there's no doubt in my mind, he can work the miracle. He can deliver us anytime he wants to. And any way that he wants to. But my part is to be obedient and trust him and let him have his way and work his will in my life. Just like Jesus did. He was tempted of the devil, it plainly tells us. The devil come along, kind of playing on words, "If thou be the Son." He knew he was the Son of God. They'd come along to you and say, oh, you think you're saved, do you? And you know you're saved. But he'll still come along and put the doubts. And he'll come along and put the fears in our minds, won't he? And I tell you what, people that have a tender conscience, he can be pretty successful with them sometimes. He's an accuser of the brethren. Folks, he accused him. He surely is going to accuse us, isn't he? Oh, I thank the Lord for Jesus. And then he said, it is written. What did he do when he said that? What was Jesus setting a precedent for? He was setting the precedent of how important it was be to the early church to stand on the foundational doctrines and truths of the Old Testament. That's where it was written. He set a precedent for us. He showed us how important those words were. And then he came, the Bible said, he was a schoolmaster. He didn't come and do away with it, but he come and fulfilled it. It was all fulfilled in Christ. You think Satan didn't want to destroy this man in the flesh right here? Sure he did. Jesus stood firm. And he kept his focus on what his mission was. And what his purpose was. Saints, keep your focus. Don't let him cloud it with all kinds of thoughts. Don't let him take you in directions that you shouldn't go. You got feet, you got hands, you got a mouth, you got eyes. Folks, don't let them things take you in directions that you shouldn't go. The Satan will come and say, well, look over here. Wouldn't you like to have this? And wouldn't you like to have that? We'll go on in our reading. That's what he did with Jesus. That's what he does with us. This is the reality of the matter. This is what you and I face in life. Then, verse 5, the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. You know what's interesting to me here? The devil stopped right there, quoting Scripture. But if he had kept on where that Scripture was written, he would have had to quote where he was going to be the defeated foe. But he didn't tell him that. He didn't go that far. The devil knows how far to go, folks. He knows what his territory is. You remember the man years and years ago that was on the ship and going from the United States over to Europe, and it said that it seemed like a voice came to him and was discouraging him and had him all despondent, and he said he was up on the top of deck, and he said a voice come along and said, there it is right there. He said, why don't you just jump on off the ship and be done with it? And he said, right then and there he knew who was talking to him. It wasn't God. He knew it was the devil. Right then and there. Sometimes he steps over his bounds. But he didn't do that with Jesus. He did quote some Scripture. He didn't get it all right. And he didn't finish it. But Jesus had some Scripture too. He said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We are never to presume upon God, are we? You know, I've heard folks make statements sometimes, I gotta do what I gotta do, and then I'll deal with God later. You can do that. You can make those kind of choices. I'll do what I gotta do. Because I just can't go through that. I just can't handle this. My faith isn't what it ought to be. My strength isn't what it ought to be. And we've already seen a picture here of Jesus where he had no human strength really left. He was in a very weakened condition. But he had the Word of God. He had the Word of God, saints. It is written. It might have been in the Old Testament, but the Lord wanted you and I to know that the Old Testament is the very words of God. It's the very words of God. And it's still good and still fits for you and I today. The word is very clear that God and not Satan stands as the final authority over the workings of mankind. God stands as the final authority. All Satan can do is presume. All he can do is tempt. All he can do is offer you things that he can't fulfill. That's all he can really do to us. But Jesus told him, thou shalt not tempt the Lord. That would be tempting. You see, all these things that the enemy came to Jesus with, he could have done it. But he wouldn't do it. Because he kept his focus. He knew where he had to go. And it wasn't jumping off this cliff. It wasn't jumping off of those things. It was going to the cross. That's what he came for. It was preordained before the foundation of the world that he would come and die for you and I. And it wasn't by jumping off the pinnacle here. Just at the suggestion of Satan. How many of us today deal with suggestions from Satan? Suggestions of the devil. You got your mind open to it? He's got the suggestions. He'll tell you just what to do. But I want to remind every one of us this morning, you take the Word of God, that's how you're going to destroy the enemy. That's how you're going to destroy. It is written, Jesus says. And so the devil had enough of that. And it says again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And said unto him, these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now how redundant is that? Isn't that ridiculous? Do you know if you really sort out sometimes the thoughts that the enemy brings to you, you're going to see the ridiculousness of them? He offered all of this to the one that created it. The one that created it all, and I'm going to give it to you? Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And you know what? That hasn't changed. Let's worship God. Let's don't worship things. Let's don't worship people. Let's worship God. Him only shalt thou serve. And it says the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Devil had a few rounds with our Lord and Savior, folks. He lost every one of them because it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I want us to take courage this morning. You're going to face him. You're going to have your trials. You're going to have your disappointments. You're going to have those things in your life that you don't understand. What do you do when you don't understand? You stand. That's what you do. You stand and you wait on the Lord. And see what the Lord has to say. Be firm. Keep your focus. All this will I give you. Now I want to bring this right down to you and I here. What has the devil promised you down over the years? You know, when I was out on his territory, he promised me a lot of things. And I ended up with headaches. I ended up with sorrow. I almost lost my home, my family, because of all the things that he was promising me. He didn't have anything to promise you, folks. Nothing that's for your good. But yet every day, he promises something. As we look around about us and as we deal with life, he promises things without us even realizing that that's what he's doing. You know, he was subtle. in the garden. He's still settled today. I think about people and how they deal with life and the promises of opportunities. Everyone's looking for an opportunity. An opportunity to have a better income, to get a better job, an opportunity to have a bigger house or a fancier car. Whatever the opportunity is, men is always looking for opportunities. And the devil's promising them this and promising them that. You know, down over the years, a couple houses ago, I had a house that had over 4,000 square feet in it. Now, how many square feet can I occupy at a time? I didn't need all of that. Didn't need all that. But we had children then. And they grew up and moved away and didn't need all that. Sometimes, you know, we think we need this. People have greater needs. People have greater wants than the needs they have to supply those wants. Their wants are greater than what they have to supply. We like to step into the new. We like to do away with the old and step into the new in life. Experience new things. Go new places. Whatever it might be that tempts you. Whatever it be that might be that the enemy would use to distract your mind and your direction that you're planning on going in life. Intending on going. Lord, help us. I have a suggestion. We need to slow down and prayerfully consider what we're facing before we respond to it. Slow down. Prayerfully consider. Jesus says it is written. I believe there's a place in all of our temptations that we can go to in the Word of God and use it against the enemy of our souls. I believe there is. And we need to do that. We need to learn to do that if we don't already know how. You see, Jesus was sent here to accomplish a particular mission. And he had to see that he followed that, fulfilled that to the end, didn't he? Satan, if you look at this discourse here, you can see that Satan tried to divide his affection. He offered him a lot of things. Try to get him to do things and be presumptuous on God. Tried an awful lot of things here. But Jesus kept his focus and his purpose for coming here in the world. Do you realize that if Jesus would have taken the devil up on his offer, that his sacrifice wouldn't have meant anything for you and I? The Christian religion, the Christian teaching, you cannot separate Christ and the cross. You can't do it. I know today there's a lot of folks that want to preach Christ and leave out the cross. You can't leave out the cross. Thank God for the cross, the old rugged cross. He accomplished his mission there and he knew that's where he needed to go. Yet the enemy tried to keep him from going there. You want to go to heaven? The devil will try to keep you from going there. He'll vie for your affections. He'll present things to you that aren't good for you. He'll make things look good to you that aren't good for you. He'll do everything that he can. So since Jesus was already the master over everything, what did the devil offer him? All this I give. He didn't offer him anything, did he? He offered him nothing. Have you found that down through life? When the enemy comes along and presents something so wonderful and so great, he's really offering you nothing? And he's preparing you for a great fall? if you accept it and you go that way and deal with it. Satan has nothing to offer us. That's what he has. What can Satan offer you? Nothing. Nothing that is good for the salvation and the benefit of your soul. He can't offer you nothing. He can't offer you anything to nourish the soul. He can't offer you a greater vision of what eternity is and what the church and what God is. He can't offer you any of those spiritual things that only Jesus came to offer us and give for you and I. I'm thankful this morning that Jesus showed us we have the truth. Jesus didn't look around for anything else. He didn't come up with something new. But he said, it is written. Saints, it's been written. It's in God's holy word. And you can stand on it. Every time. Jesus is the chief cornerstone of this thing, folks. It is written. And if God said it, we can stand on it. Now, just a few more things. There's a lot of people, when they see, they want it. Now. I remember Brother Kimball, years ago, talk about living in the microwave generation. We want it now. Have you ever put something in the microwave, heat up water or something, and stand there and wait? Boy, I wish this thing would hurry up. You only got it in there maybe for a minute and a half. Well, I wish this thing would hurry up. You know, I want to get moving here. We want it now. Do you know the enemy loves to take advantage of us when we want it now? He'll do his best to see that we get it now. He will. Even though it will be for the detriment of our souls. When we see something new on the horizon, we need to step back. I think this is good advice. We need to step back and ponder what it is that is before us. We need to prayerfully consider, is this good for my soul? How will it benefit my spiritual walk with the Lord? Will it benefit my spiritual life or will it hinder my spiritual life? Really, for me, that's the rub in my walk with the Lord. I don't want things. I don't want to take up things that will hinder my spiritual walk with the Lord. I want to have a relationship with God that is a working relationship. A relationship that when I call on Him, He will answer. And He'll hear my call. We need to be able to get our prayers through, don't we? We must be able to get our prayers through, folks. Most of us have learned that when we rush to do things under pressure, we make mistakes. You feel pressured, got to do it right now. Oh, the salesmen, that's the way they throw their pitches. You know, you go out there and you're looking for a new vehicle and they'll say, you know, I can offer you this deal, but you got to take it today. You got to take it. Well, I want to go home and pray about it. I've told them that. Pray about it. This offer is only good for today. I said, well, keep it. There's plenty more fish out there in the ocean besides you folks. And there's plenty of cars out there. But I want to go home and pray about it. They look at you like you're some kind of a weirdo because you want to go pray about it. Folks, you better pray about it. You better step back and you better get a focus. Now, where am I going with all this? Yes, even with cars and whatever it is that you do with in life, you need to step back and see how it's going to affect you spiritually. Because that's where my focus is. And I want to stand firm. And I want to stand true. So when the pressure's on, stop. Stop. You know, I see in the grocery stores, mothers pushing their children through in the carts, and the children, of course, at the checkout line, there's all kinds of candy bars. Oh, Mom, I need this. Mom, I want that. And they reach over and they grab it. Mom got trying to deal with coupons and trying to deal with watching the register and all these kind of... Well, okay. First she says no. Oh, but I need it. And then under pressure, oh, go ahead. The child, I'm sure, didn't need the candy. And mother just lost an opportunity to be a mother. She just lost an opportunity to be a mother. An opportunity to teach the child that when mom says no, mom means no. Do you know when God says no, he means no? We can try to push him and press him all we want. We can whine and we can cry. But when he says no, that's exactly what he means, is no. We need to stop. When something new has been added into our lives, we need to stop and step back. And we need to remember the example that Christ was to you and I. It is written. Keep firm. Keep your focus. Hold firm against your temptations. We're in this for the course. We're in this to stay the course. As I mentioned Wednesday night, the song in our book, I've enlisted in the service till I get tired, till it gets too tough, till the temptation gets too great. But the songwriter said, until I die. Staying firm and focused. That's important. What I'm talking about this morning is important. And we have the best, I've given you the best example that there is, and that's Christ. And how he was firm with the enemy. It's written. You know, I really like that thought, and the Lord gave me that thought. Even when he was under pressure, even when he was famished and hungry, he would not perform a miracle when he realized it was God's will and purpose for him to be in the very place that he was in at that moment. See how faithful Jesus is? He's faithful to every one of us. He's been faithful to me down through my life. Oh, I can look back on things, stupid, idiotic things that I've done, and here he's brought me to where I am today. My, has he been patient? Has he been gentle and kind and faithful? Faithful to our souls, folks. Faithful to you. Faithful to me. I'd like to look here. I'm about to close. I'd like to look at a scripture over in Philippians. I think it's pretty familiar to us, but we'll read it anyway. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You see, Paul exhorts us, in everything, let your by prayer and with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Have any of you ever experienced? I've experienced this. I don't like it. Go and you make a major purchase. When you get home and you get quiet about it and think about it. Boy, I wish I hadn't done that. Lord, I'm sorry if I grieved you in any way. Boy, I wish I hadn't done that. We don't have to live our life that way, folks. Stay focused on the goal. Contentment. Paul's talking about contentment. It's a lesson that isn't learned in a classroom. But it's learned out in the experiences of the world, isn't it? Experiences of life. Contentment. And then I want to leave you with this one. This is my last scripture. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Familiar too, and I love this one. 4th chapter, 14th verse of Hebrews. Seeing then we have a great high priest, and we just talked about him this morning, didn't we? That is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, the faithful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us hold fast our profession. What's the title of my little message? Stay firm. Stay focused. Where you headed? You got to do that when you're driving, don't you? If you don't stay focused when you're driving, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have a wreck. You're going to have an accident. For we have not an high priest. And let's take out the double negatives here, okay? We have a high priest that can be touched with a feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. We just read about them, didn't we? Some of them. Yet without sin. Is he our example? Do we have to sin? You know, the consequences of giving in to the temptation is much greater than the temptation itself. The consequences of giving in can last eternity, can't it? Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Folks, the Lord knows we need grace. And He told us we could come boldly. We don't have to be timid about it. Write it, devil, in your face. I got God on my side. And I'm going boldly to the throne of grace that I can get mercy and get that grace to help me in my time of need. One of my favorite verses, got quite a few of them, but that's one of them, that I might obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. I thank the Lord this morning. He understands our humanity. You feel human? I feel human. I feel so human. I feel so weak, feeble, helpless, and I need to be able to come to the throne of grace that I might obtain grace and mercy to help me in time of need. Lord, help us all. Be faithful. Stay firm. Stay true. Folks, one of these days we're coming down to the end of all this. We come down to the end of life's way. Lord, help us. We can say, they were faithful. They died with the love of God in their heart. Boy, I tell you, there's all kinds of good things that people can say about us if they're true. If they're true. Keep the love of God in your heart. Stay focused. Please the Lord in everything that you do. Amen. Pray for me.